T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The American pastime.
That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7:15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
In real time.
Lindor drives it to deep right. Goodbye. A grand slam.
Baseball stories, scores, and more.
High drive, left field. Going back at the wall.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. A deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
As you know, Monty, Vaughn's been working on a couple of new pitches, the Eliminator and the Humiliator, to complement his fastball, the Terminator.
I heard that.
Dynamite drop in, Monty, and broadcast school has really paid off.
Now here are your hosts for the Hot Corner, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in to another edition of the Hot Corner. I figured today we'd talk a little soccer. College basketball is about to start. What else do I want to talk about?
Stop it.
Maybe the Jags defense.
You see their corners are two of the best in the NFL?
Jalen Ramsey, he was good in college.
AJ Bouye has been great for them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I figured that's what we'd focus this show on today because nothing else in the baseball world is going on.
Again, stop it.
Why?
Things are happening.
What good do you mean they're happening?
Good things are happening.
I gave up on baseball last week.
We did wind up playing the clip when Gardner hit the single on primetime the next day, and it was even funnier hearing it back. Your line was, I believe, and I'm going to kill myself. Just very matter-of-factly.
Do you know the last hour of our show last week, if you're just tuning in this week and you don't realize, is last week it was Yankees-Indians, game 5 of the ALDS. Michael and I were here, as we always are every Wednesday, doing a show live as a game is going on live. It was actually one of the hardest moments of sports talk radio I have done in my 4 years of doing this. I don't remember. It's been long enough that I can't remember. It's one of the hardest, if not the hardest moments I've ever had to be behind a mic, simply because you're trying to dictate and run a show, but things are happening and you'd rather be sitting at a bar with your friends drinking a beer. You know what I mean?
I mean, luckily there were commercial breaks, but the amount of times I wanted to just stop listening to you and just stare at the TV.
Said every listener ever.
Right. And just go, no, I'm going to stop talking now.
Yeah.
Was basically the entire show. We fought through it.
Mm-hmm.
We did play the game for about 10 minutes at one point. It was just a nice reprieve. It was like, oh, God, we need to, can we just watch the game for a second and listen to the game? And then, the actual game winning hit, or the lead extending hit, I guess, was live during a segment, and we tried to time it out so that we didn't have that happen, and Gardner had the longest at bat of all time. It had like 11 foul balls in it.
Well, because we never thought Brett Gardner would be the guy.
Well, you never thought Brett Gardner would be the guy.
Mm. Homer. Here comes a homer.
But it was really tough to do that show, let me tell you, because if one of us had a team playing, the other one could carry the show, and it'd be fine. But when both of us have our teams playing
against each other,
It was an interesting day, to say the least.
You know, I ran into a lot of how do I want to focus on this? I ran into a lot of people, whether it be radio people, Twitter people, coworkers, guests, clients, whatever you want to say. You know, everybody wants to talk to me about this, and I as you can hear, you can go back and listen to Les Schwab Tire Podcast, and you can hear that I am quite defeated. Quite defeated. And then, of course, people want to talk to you about how defeated you were. And you're like, thanks. This is making me feel better. I appreciate it.
Well, I think people want to, help. But I think they also just want to see how bad and low you got after a loss like that. Like, people want to know, because every fan has had that feeling at some point.
Sure.
Right? At different levels.
Unless you're a Mariner fan, because you'd never know that feeling.
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah, now I'm taking shots at everyone.
Different levels. Mariners have had that in the regular season a lot. But you have that feeling, right? You know that feeling of pure dismay after your team loses. And I think people want to kind of figure out what other people's reactions are to see if their reaction was warranted when that happened to their team. I think that's kind of it. I think people are interested to see how the losing side reacts, because the winning side reacts in an obvious way.
Right.
They're interested to see how the
Jubilee,
losing side reacts.
Jubilee, yeah. Here we go. Yeah, we're the greatest.
Yippee-ki-yay.
What I said to everybody, and I hope everybody out there listening, and maybe, Mike, you might understand this as well, to be in the studio in front of a microphone doing this show, which I love so much and means so much to me, you know, maybe actually more so than my allegiance to any of my sports teams outside of my alma mater. Which we're not going to talk about right now. That was the hardest moment I've ever been behind this mic, simply because how I explained it to people, it's like, okay, you are with this. You have a partner, okay? Whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is. You have a partner, and you are absolutely dedicated to them. Not only do you believe in them, but you love them, and you're by their side at every moment, whether they win, lose, succeed, fail, however you want to describe it. Being behind this microphone while that went down, the only way I could describe it is if Justin Timberlake walked into your house, stole your partner from you, and you had to watch them have sex.
And commentate on it.
That's how it felt.
I noticed.
And that was hard.
What was the weirdest thing about it to me was I was celebrating as it happened, right? And the weirdest thing about it was that all emotion left your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You went straight robot.
And you know me, I am not robot.
You announced what happened. You said, and Brett Gardner hits it into right field, and the Yankees take the lead, and Frankie Lindor makes an error that I've never seen in my life before, and they score another run, and I want to kill myself, and here is Joe with SportsCenter. And you maybe a little bit more in there.
Right.
There was no life in your voice, but it was very, like, professionally matter-of-fact what was happening. You went, I don't want to feel this, so I'm just going to say what's happening with no emotion, and then I'm going to go put my head in the corner, which you did. Put your head into the corner of the wall and just kind of stood there for the whole break. And it was a very strange reaction. I was not expecting that. I felt like I couldn't be happy that it happened because you were in the room.
And I felt bad for you for that.
I was like, I'm really excited, but I can't be that excited because my buddy over here is really in pain right now.
I felt bad because it took away from your enjoyment. Not to mention, 2 days later, my alma mater loses in a very poor fashion.
3 days later, my alma mater beat the number two team in the country. Actually, 2 days later, my alma mater beat the number
two
team in the country.
Oh, yeah. You guys played before us.
Yeah.
So that went down. And 2 days later, my alma mater's athletic director leaves, who is a friend of mine. I can sit here on this. And not because of radio ties, but because of Wazoo ties. Bill Moos I consider him a friend of mine. For him to leave was another punch in the gut. I'm really glad. I went to the Timbers game on Sunday, and I am so glad that I did. I was walking into the stadium as the game was starting, and I'm thinking to myself, no one should let me in this building.
DC United is the worst team in the Eastern Conference.
And Timbers, God bless their souls,
clinch a playoff berth if they win. And they did.
And I'm thinking to myself, if anyone knew who I was right now, they would say, get out. You cannot come in this stadium. Because I had the worst week of sports in my life. The Timbers won 4-0, and it brought me back to life. It brought me back to life.
Have you been able to watch the baseball playoffs?
The first baseball playoff I tuned into was game 3 of the ALCS.
Okay.
That's the first game I watched.
And since then, you've been back on board for the most part?
I mean, I followed. I knew what was happening. I saw clips and things like that. But game 3 of the ALCS was the first time I was able to get back in baseball.
Good time to get back into it.
It is.
In my opinion.
It is. I've got some interesting things to say about your Yankees. All right. Oakley Doakley. Well, coming up, we got a lot of things to get into today. Dodgers Cubs playing right now. Game four. Dodgers on the brink of a sweep. However, they are down 2-1 right now off of all home runs in this game. Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras go deep for the Cubs. And then the young kid, Cody Bellinger. Hello. Hi. I'm still here. Goes deep for the Dodgers. It's 2-1. We'll keep an eye on that. Blazers are also tonight. We'll keep an eye on that game. We might get a little banter in that, but baseball's pretty full right now. We'll break down the ALCS. We'll break down the NLCS. And then also, I mean, it's not even a tease anymore about is there a chance of baseball coming to this town. There might be some actual legitimate legs to that. We'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Outside of that, you can always find us on Twitter. You can find Mike Lynch at MikeLynch27. You can find me at PDiddy085. You can also text Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. That lets you interact without the show throughout the entire 2 hours that we are here. Harass us. We love when we come back. I figure, why not? Game five ended today. Yanks up 3-2. We'll dive into the American League Championship Series. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 7:19 here on 1080 The Fan. Cubs still up 2-1. Top of the fifth. Two outs. Arrieta still on the mound. Alfaruk Aminu bricked a three. I didn't even see it, but if you told me he took a shot, I'd probably know that.
It was a bad shot.
Oh, why are you taking shots?
It's only 5-2 Suns right now.
Oh, well, to be fair, let's not bag on Aminu too much. This is the NBA where it is king of throw up as many bad shots as possible, and some of them go in, and you'll be a superstar. Yes, this is where me hating on the NBA begins.
Well, if the season starts, of course you're going to hate on the NBA. You like to hate on the NBA.
I don't like to hate on the NBA. I like to call it as I see it, and the NBA sucks.
Well, you love college basketball, so there's a little bit of that in you that, you know, college basketball rules, NBA drools.
Yeah. Well, college basketball, they actually like play defense and rotation.
Yeah, but they can't hit a shot to save their lives.
Well, yeah. That's what makes it exciting.
Because brick.
Well, they brick. Tend to take more quality shots.
No, they don't.
Oh, I hate the NBA.
They do not take more quality. And look, I love college basketball. You know this. I love it.
It's easy for you to love college basketball, Mr. Jim Boeheim, those of us.
It's brutal to watch sometimes. That's all.
Yeah, fair enough. Mike Lynch behind the glass tonight on the producer side. No Joe Fisher tonight.
Joe was in earlier today here for like 7 hours. So
I don't understand why he left. He was in the building.
Well, until primetime, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a doubleheader sometimes, you know.
He did a doubleheader. He did Colin and Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah, Colin is pressing buttons and doing updates on the hour. Just
Colin
saying.
Is? What?
Michael. Dang it. I'm trying to give Joe Fisher some flack here, and you're like, well, and because I'm behind the glass today, I'm going to in producer chair, so I'm going to stick up for another producer. If you were in here, you'd be blasting Joe, okay, for the record.
You think that this chair changes my emotions?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Yes, I do. All right, well, the Yanks come up with a big win today to break up the tie in the American League Championship Series. The Yanks go up 3-2 against the Houston Astros, coming back from a 2-0 deficit. And by goodness, do we have a series here.
This has been such an exciting series from game one through tonight. Less so for Astros fans, games three and five. But it's been really intense. There have been a lot of important plays. There's been a lot of close calls at the plate, pitching wide, like from umpires. There's been a lot of clutch hits. There's been a walk-off in game two, thanks to Carlos Correa. There's been some dominant pitching performances from both sides. It's been everything you want in a baseball series in general. I mean, especially now that the Yankees are up for me, but if you're a neutral viewer, this is like the best series you could want right now.
I think so too. I think you're, kind of spot on that simply because after games one and two, okay. After Indians, Yankees go five and Houston kind of takes care of business for the most part. I don't think anybody thought at any moment the Red Sox were going to overcome or come back or put up a fight.
From when the Astros scored like four runs in the first inning of game one, whatever it was.
You were kind of like, see you later, adios. I think after the Astros came out in games one and two, now they were closely contested games. I don't remember which one got away from them a little bit at the end. I think it was game one.
No, it was both 2-1.
Okay. So both games were really good, but you're kind of thinking, okay, maybe the Yanks are a little spent, a little tired, coming back from 2-0 in the previous series. Maybe this is Houston's year. This has been such a great series because after game two, I was like, okay, Yanks win game three, Astros win game four, Yanks maybe put together game five, Astros win six. Nothing's really challenged. I think that's the way you look at it because the Yankee bats look cold. The Astros pitching looked really good. They didn't have to rely on their bullpen too much, especially in game two with Verlander throwing a gem. I would argue that after game two, things looked bleak for the Yankees.
Well, I looked at it a little bit differently.
Well, you're a homer.
No, but I totally
sorry.
Totally unbiased. I looked at it a little differently. A was the Yankees had just come back from 2-0 down against the Indians, so it wasn't like it was a scary deficit.
Right.
It would have been if the series against the Indians was different, but they had just proven they could do it. The other thing was this. The Astros scored like what felt like 100 runs a game against the Red Sox, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were amazing offensively during the regular season. And despite the fact that they won both those games, they scored two runs. And their offense did not look very good. Altuve looked amazing. Correa looked really good. In general, everybody else looked kind of feh, right? So I'm going...
paging George Springer.
I'm going down 2-0, but the Astros aren't hitting. Okay. Keuchel and Verlander are now going to be out for the next two games. You got Charlie Morton, Brad Peacock, McCullers, whoever you want to throw, right? I said, I could see the Yankees coming back to at least get back into this series just because of that alone. Because the Astros just didn't hit in the first two games. Now, the Yankees hit way worse, and I want to give all the credit to Keuchel and to Verlander. They pitched amazing games in games one and two, especially Verlander. I mean, he threw like 140 pitches. It felt like he was just out there forever.
Because that's what he does, and he went all nine.
And he was unstoppable, and it's because the Astros' bullpen is awful.
Absolutely atrocious. We talked about this going into the playoffs. That was the one thing I didn't think the Astros had was their bullpen.
And the fact that they got Keuchel to go seven, and then they got Verlander to go nine. You're like, okay, you know, they're managing the bullpen. They have a couple arms they trust, and they're getting them in there, and that's fine. But with Charlie Morton pitching and with, I thought, Brad Peacock, but it was McCullers who wound up starting. With them starting, I was assuming they'd get knocked out a little bit early, and then the bullpen comes in and all bets are off. And it kind of worked out like that, at least in the first game. Charlie Morton did not pitch well, gave up, four runs in three innings, and it kind of turned into a blowout pretty quickly. But the same storyline from the Astros stayed. They weren't hitting again. And then this was against CeCe in game three. Game four comes around. It's kind of similar to game three of Indians-Yankees. 0-0 for a very long time. McCullers is pitching very, very well. And Sonny Gray is pitching well. And then Yuli Gurriel hits the big three-run double off of Sonny Gray after a walk, a catcher's interference, and a walk. I believe that's what it was. You're like, oh, God. That's
poor Sonny Gray gets pulled after five-plus innings, gives up one hit,
right,
two walks.
No run support again.
Seven Ks, and he gets hung out to dry.
And you're going, okay, that's, you know, they win this game. They're down 3-1. Keuchel goes tomorrow. Series is over, right? That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the magic started. And the weird decision to pull McCullers after one home run started. I was a little – I kind of judged A.J. Hinch a little bit after that. I went, really? He's pitching a gem, and sure, he hung a curveball to Judge, but, I mean, he's got like 75 pitches right now. Why are you pulling him?
Well, let's get into this. There's two things I want to get into. One, it all revolves around managing, but I want to use one as example as I get into this second point. The example I have is Max Scherzer is throwing a no-hitter. He gives up a hit, doesn't have 100 pitches, and he's like a Verlander that can throw 120, and you're not worried about him. Like, you feel okay if he throws 120. Dusty Baker gets scared, pulls the trigger in a terrible, terrible move. And who's in the playoffs right now? The Dodgers. Who's not? The Nationals. I thought that was a terrible move from him. Lance McCullers gives up a solo home run, right? And A.J. Hinch comes out and pulls him.
Solo home runs are essentially rally killers. Really, home runs are kind of like rally killers because what you want is runners on base to keep the pitcher nervous. If you hit a home run, it could be huge, but say you're down like 4-0 and it's a two-run shot. Well, that's the end of the rally, right?
Yep.
because nobody's on base anymore. The pitcher can settle back down, and it kind of ends it.
So for me, despite one of these guys having a very blatantly obvious blown managerial decision, in this series, a lot of what boils down to me outside of player on player is AJ Hinch is getting outmanaged tenfold by Joe Girardi, who you have heard me say on this show many, many, many times that Joe Girardi is a top four, top five, maybe even top three manager in this game. And he is showing it in this series as Javi Baez goes deep for the second time in the game to put the Dodgers up 3-1 in the NLCS
the
game
Cubs
four.
Up 3-1.
Cubs up 3-1 in a win-or-go-home kind of situation.
What inning is it, the fifth or sixth?
They're in the fifth, bottom of the fifth as Javi goes deep. I think Joe Girardi is completely outmanaging him in this. Some of it's a little luck. That pitching staff has looked phenomenal for the Yankees, and we'll get into that after we come back from break. But I think AJ Hinch is in a league that he doesn't know how to be in. Because if you look at this, okay, Dave Roberts, sure, never really been here before. He has a little experience, never been here before. Joe Maddon knows what he's doing. Terry Francona knows what he's doing. John Farrell won a World Series. Joe Girardi won a World Series. There's a lot of guys in the playoffs that know what they're doing. Hinch looks lost as a manager to me.
And it's interesting you say that. And I didn't really think about it that way, right? I didn't think he was getting outmanaged. I didn't really think about it that way. But I did kind of have that thought today when I want to say it was Brad Peacock came in and gave up the Gary Sanchez home run. And they cut to Hinch in the dugout. And Hinch was just kind of like walking around. And then like went up to the railing and then stepped back and was walking around again. And it kind of seemed like he was like, I don't know what to do.
Yep.
Our bullpen is not good. What am I supposed to do? And that I kind of did get a little bit of that feeling. So I wonder if, I mean, I don't want to say he's in over his head, but maybe he's letting the nerves get to him a little bit.
But the question, if he's in over his head, then why is he pulling the string on a starter so early? Like that's the overwhelming thing to me. That's like, what are you doing? If you know your bullpen sucks, why are you pulling a dude who just gave up a run?
I think I saw a stat that McCullers, after he hit a certain number of pitches, which is what he was at, the batting average against him was like almost 400. So the fact that that was the pitch number and his first pitch of the inning, he gave up a home run, he went up. We know what's going to happen now. McCullers is going to suck. So maybe that's what the reasoning was. I think Joe Girardi has been victim of this a lot in the playoffs. Is Girardi has a plan going into the game, and he doesn't like to sway from the plan. He doesn't want to read the game and kind of get the feel. He goes, this person has X amount of pitches, then this pitcher's coming in, then this pitcher's coming in, and that's the end of the story. He's famous for his binder. He has a binder that he references. That in this kind of a situation, I think sometimes you got to manage with your gut a little bit too. And I don't know if Hinch is doing that right now.
I would agree. Jake Arrieta just singles to put a man on first with two outs in the bottom of the fifth. Jake Arrieta coming to the plate actually proves that Maddon's going to keep him in there, probably because he doesn't believe in his bullpen, speaking of. When we come back, we'll keep diving in. Plus, I want to talk about Yankee hitting for a minute, okay? Just because I got some things I got to get off my chest that I want to talk about Yankee hitting. You can keep hitting the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305 with your thoughts. But first, here's Mike with sports. Blank the Yankees forever. That comes from our P1 RJ.
He's been hating the whole playoffs, and that's okay.
I think he's been hating the last, like, 3 or 4 years we've been doing this show, Mike.
Well, I mean, look, he hates the Yankees. I get it. A lot of people hate the Yankees. I'm not mad about it. I'm not ashamed.
If I ran into people that were like, I hate the Indians, I hate the Cougs, I would hate them. But that's what happens when you win 27 in a row. You just are like, oh, I don't care.
Well, it's not about that. It's
you hate my team.
Literally, everybody hates the Yankees.
I don't.
Well, you're a rare breed.
Why is that?
Because literally, I shouldn't say literally if you don't, almost literally, every baseball fan who's not a Yankee fan hates the Yankees.
I actually think the tide's turning. I think most of us hate the Red Sox.
Yeah, but what happens when the Yankees go spend $700 million on Harper and whoever else?
Machado.
Then they're going to get hated again.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
If you're Brian Cashman, You're in game six of the World Series. How much money do you
ALCS, slow down.
My bad.
We're not jinxing.
You're in game six of the ALCS. How much money do you really need to spend?
Well,
do you really need Bryce Harper?
Chase Headley will be off the books.
Sure, but
CC might, although they might bring him back, which would be interesting.
Then you come back on the cheap.
Then you got money to spend.
You got Torres coming up to take over third, and Bird's finally healthy, and your outfield is a plethora of dudes.
Hicks has a real career now.
Yeah.
He was awful in Minnesota.
Like, how much money do you really need to spend?
Well, you got it, so why not spend it?
I guess. But I want to talk about Yankee hitters
real quick. I like your point, though. I like this team. Let's see what happens.
I want to talk about Yankee hitters real quick. And who knows, maybe next segment we'll still talk some Yankees, because I got some more stuff I want to say about these guys. And I want to talk about the hitters real quick. And it's been amazing, because this has very much been a pitcher series, as we've seen. It's kind of like the team that gets to the starter first seems, for the most part, to kind of have the edge.
That has been almost entirely true, except for game four. Astros scored first in both games one and two. Yankees scored first games three and five. Astros scored first in game four, but blew the lead.
Which I think is a testament to the starting pitching and just kind of rallying. But I've been really impressed with this Yankee team, whether it's Greg Bird, whether it's Didi, whether it's, you know, Sanchez or Judge or, you know, Todd Frazier, anything like that. I think these guys have created a situation in which, at least from a fan perspective, whoever's at the plate, if there's somebody on base, if they're in scoring position, it almost, to me, feels like it doesn't matter who's coming to the plate, that you believe they're going to knock somebody in. Especially fifth inning on, because that's really where the Yankee bats have done some damage. And that, to me, is what's most impressive about this team.
It has kind of turned into an everybody is pitching in kind of series. I guess I would say the worst hitters in the series have been Brett Gardner and Starlin Castro in terms of getting big hits.
I was about to say Castro, yeah.
Castro has not had the best series. He made a couple of errors. He's not having the best. But he hit pretty well in the Indian series. He was the only one getting hits in the beginning of that series. Yankees were getting shut down a couple of times. But, yeah, Todd Frazier, who was the throw-in on the Robertson-Canley deal, has been a huge influence in the clubhouse and now has been huge on the field, getting the big three-run home run. In game three. That looked like a pop-up. And it just kept carrying. It was a true Yankee Stadium home run, but maybe even off the bat.
Maybe they needed a 6'7" dude in right field to catch that ball.
Right, maybe. Chase freaking Headley's gotten big hits.
I wanted you to swear right there so bad.
Judge obviously has had some big hits, which has been really nice after he struck out 20 bajillion times. Sanchez didn't have any hits until two games ago, and he's gotten some clutch ones. Didi's been clutch, of course. I feel like he's always going to be clutch. It's been everybody, man. It's been a true team effort to kind of come back from this 2-0 series deficit.
And I think that's been huge for the Yankees because that takes so much pressure off everybody else. You know, if you're Gary Sanchez in the four hole, you don't have to worry, you know, about whether it's Judge in front of you or Gardner in front of that or whoever else is in front of you. You don't have to be nervous that those guys are going to leave you in a terrible position. It's like it doesn't matter where you are in the lineup. You feel like somebody ahead of you is going to do something to put you in a great position and ease the pain off you. To where Houston, to not spend so much time on the Yanks, but to get to Houston for a second, I feel like outside of Guerrero and Carrera and Gurriel, Carrera, and Altuve, it's like them or bust.
Well, what's interesting is, games one and two, Altuve and Correa were amazing, right? They got all the hits. Correa had the walk-off in game two. Altuve was on base, it felt like, every time. And something happened. They stopped throwing Altuve fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody out there who's watching has noticed it. I think I've seen them throw him three fastballs in the last three games. They're throwing him curveballs, changeups, cutters, nothing straight fastball. Even Chapman has been throwing him sliders. And guess what? Altuve stopped getting hits. Because Altuve jumps on first pitch fastballs and gets on base all the freaking time. It's amazing, right? He's always on base. They've just stopped throwing it to him and he can't adjust.
You know where that comes from? That comes from a former catcher being the manager of your team.
Correa has looked lost at the plate this series after those first two games.
And I would actually argue, stats aside, that Correa is the better hitter than Altuve.
I'd still argue for Altuve.
I would argue because I think Correa
hit. Looks like a better hitter, but well, Altuve is just tiny.
He's just the stallion up there at the plate. I think Correa is more apt to hit all ranges of pitches. To where, like you said, you stop throwing fastballs at Altuve, and he's done.
Well, it's interesting.
Not done per se, but his weakness right now.
For now, it is. I don't think Altuve is a bad curveball hitter. Like, he hits everything. But for whatever reason, right now, he's not hitting those pitches. But Correa stopped hitting, right? So those two guys, basically any time in the first two games that those two guys came up, you expected them to get on base, right? And do something that drove in some runs. The rest of the lineup wasn't really hitting. Springer's been MIA this entire series. Josh Reddick's been MIA this entire series. Marvin Gonzalez has been kind of MIA this entire series. McCann hasn't hit. Gattis hasn't
Bregman? Did you mention Bregman?
No, Bregman hasn't hit, right?
And he was great in the ALDS.
And so it's really been the trio of Altuve, Correa, and Gurriel have been great in this series up until the last three games. And all of a sudden, the only one who's doing anything right now is Gurriel. He's the only hitter on the team who's getting hits. And I almost sense they kind of got into their heads at some point because the Astros do not strike out, right? That was like their biggest strong point was the Astros don't K. And I don't think they struck out in the first two games, like, at all. Maybe once or twice in the second game.
That's an interesting stat.
I think in the first game they didn't have a K. I think they might have had a K or two in the second game. And all of a sudden, they're K-ing all over the place. They're swinging at bad pitches outside of the zone. They're chasing sliders that are up but out. They're just not – they've lost their patience. And I don't know if that's a credit to the Yankees or a discredit to the Astros more of changing the game plan – in New York's favor in terms of them just not throwing them strikes as much. And the Astros are very aggressive hitters. They like to swing at the first pitch and get on base. I don't know who to give more or less credit to for that, but that's been kind of the whole series, right? And that's why I say it last segment, the Astros are not hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Yankees have been able to come back because Houston is just not hitting. The amount of times they've had runners on base with nobody out and they can't drive people home. It must be infuriating for Astros fans right now because, like, today, nothing in the second inning. Lead off double by who else? Yuli Gurriel. They got strikeout, ground out. Inning ended. That was it. I mean, ground out, strikeout, ground out, whatever it was. Quick end of the inning, and they didn't score a run.
And paging George Springer. Hi, where are you? You're the leadoff hitter. You got to get things going. You are energy of this team. Like, should AJ Hinch put Jose Altuve in the leadoff spot? Because Springer has done squadouche.
I don't think you'd do much change to your lineup at this point.
I know, but do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you have a leadoff hitter that cannot get on base, and your one job as a leadoff hitter, whether it's a walk, whether it's a running out a ground ball, whether it's a single to left, your job is to get on base. And George Springer, I feel like if you weren't following baseball, you wouldn't even know that George Springer was in this series.
Was a good player even, right?
Exactly. And that is alarming.
You can double it down onto Josh Reddick. And I guess Gonzalez, who's hit second a couple of times, they're not hitting either.
Yeah, but Josh Reddick is an acquisition that's like, oh, nice pickup, whatever, you know, kind of nice pickup.
But
George Springer is a cornerstone.
But he's a two-hole hitter. So the top two guys are not getting on base for the Astros at all.
Yeah.
And then Altuve comes up and you're like, oh, he'll hit a single. And then Correa's up, and lately it's been him striking out all the time. But you're like, okay, maybe he'll walk, and then you'll get Gurriel to strike out or whatever, right? That's kind of been the thought because nobody's on base in the beginning of the inning. But to be fair, Gardner's not hitting for the Yankees either. He's not getting on base. And Judge is not getting on base until yesterday. So it's kind of been the same for the Yankees, too. The top of the lineups are not really producing.
Speaking of Aaron Judge, I want to get into Aaron Judge next. We'll do that. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back into the Hot Corner. Top of the hour, we'll get into a little NLCS talk as the Cubs lead 3-1. Bottom of the sixth, we're into bullpens for the Dodgers. We'll see what the Cubs do at the top of the seventh. But before we do that, I want to get into a little Aaron Judge talk, if that's all right.
It's always all right with me.
I think it is. I would not be shocked if Aaron Judge is the MVP. I don't remember who I voted for.
I think we voted for Altuve.
Do we both vote for Altuve?
I still think it'll be Altuve, but
yeah, which doesn't matter now. Like we're splitting hairs here. We're talking about the two best players in the American League. Easy, we're Judge or Altuve. But I want to talk about Aaron Judge, and I've got beef with Aaron Judge, and it actually has nothing to do with Aaron Judge. My issue is something that is so classic this time of year in a sport that is not as heavily covered as, say, the NBA or the NFL, in which they're just looking and looking to find anything they can hang on to push. And that is clearly Aaron Judge. You hit 50-plus home runs, you're the size he is, you're as humble as he is, you play for the Yankees, you're young, you're ready to break on. After Game 3 and Game 4, all I heard was Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge. And that drives me insane. Simply because Aaron Judge, in my opinion, is not the reason the Yankees are up 3-2. Has he helped?
It's their pitching.
Has he helped? Yes. From just the batting side, is he the best guy? No. Not at all. Is he the reason they are where they are? In my opinion, no. Because in Game 3, you're not there. Sure. What'd he hit? He hit an RBI double in Game 3? Or did he hit a dinger in Game 3?
Game 3, I think he hit a double.
Okay, so he hits an RBI double in Game 3.
I can't remember. I think he might have hit. I can't remember.
Either way,
a lot of things.
In Game 3 and Game 4, he hit a home run. I think he hit a home run in Game 3, and he hit an RBI double in Game 4. Okay.
And a solo homer in Game 4.
Neither one of those, none of his hits have been the most important hit. So why are we building him up to be the most important hitter in the game? Because Todd Frazier hit a 3-run homer that put the Yanks up. In Game 4, Gary Sanchez was the guy who put the Yanks up. So now I'm okay with you like getting knocks and getting RBIs and things like that. But let's pump the brakes that Aaron Judge is the reason the Yanks are right here. Because as far as I'm concerned, outside of pitching, I'm looking at guys like Todd Frazier. I'm looking at guys like Didi hasn't played well in the ALCS, but they wouldn't even be in the ALCS without Didi Gregorius.
Like we said,
Gary Sanchez in games 3, 4, and 5 has had clutch hit after clutch hit after clutch hit. So this Aaron Judge thing, I just want to pump the brakes.
Well, like I said last night, it's been a whole team effort, right? Not one person is playing way better than anybody else.
Greg Bird, also another guy, has three, four home runs in this series so far.
Yep. He's been awesome too. He often forgotten because he's the last of the baby bombers and he was out all year. But the thing about this time of the year that I do agree with you that I hate is everyone's so desperate for the one storyline. And I remember watching the beginning of this series. And every time Aaron Judge came up to the plate, Joe Buck would say, 52 home runs in the season. He could put it out with one swing of the bat. Got to watch out for the Astros. And I'm like, Joe, did you see him in the last series? He was horrific.
Horrific.
Outside of the one double in Game 4, I think it was Game 4,
off
of Bauer, he did nothing, right? Nothing. And all you want to talk about is how much of a power hitter he is. Great, you can mention it.
But even back then in Game 4, they were like, Yanks win behind Judge's bat. And you're like, ugh.
I suppose, although Judge was, he had two of the big hits in the game in that one. I'm splitting hairs here for you, but they're looking for storylines anywhere they can find them. And this whole season, Judge has been the storyline in baseball, right?
Right.
He has. No other team has gotten more notoriety than that player, and that's Judge. Part of it's the Yankee stuff. Part of it was the All-Star Game Home Run Derby show. Part of it was the hot start to the season. But, I mean, so I get it, but I also agree. I like it because it's my team, but if it wasn't my team or my player, I'd be on the same board with you. I'd be like, I'm getting sick of this, right? And it's a negative because Aaron Judge is likable. There's not really anything you can dislike about him.
Extremely. But, I'm not hating on Aaron Judge.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is I think he'll start to be unlikable if everyone doesn't shut up about him every 5 seconds. if all any baseball fan hears is Aaron Judge for the next 10 years, then they're going to start hating him, right?
For me,
what happened with Derek Jeter? A lot of people respected Derek Jeter, but people got sick of Derek Jeter. I remember in this town, in his retirement year, people were nauseated by the Derek Jeter coverage, right? Sure, people like him, and he's a nice guy, and people like him as a person, but you get sick of him if that's not your guy. Like, I loved it, but I it's my team. It's my guy. So if it was any other player like that, like if it was Griffey getting that in his retirement year, and it's just like nauseating coverage the entire year, non-Griffey fans are going to be like, I mean, I like Griffey, but God, can you shut up already?
Plus, he's old and sucks. What I liken this to, what it reminds me of is, now again, for the record, I love Aaron Judge. I think he's great. The thing I wanted to drop on you, Mike, is this Yankee team, with the exception of it being more old guys and a few young guys back in the day, and this being more young guys and a few old guys, this team reminds me of 96. I've said this before. I think this team is here for a while. And this Yankee team scares me. And right now, watching this team, I think they're going to win the World Series. However, if they keep talking about Aaron Judge like this, it's going to turn into the Bryce Harper versus Mike Trout debate. Okay? None of us that really follow baseball, that truly know baseball, are going to sit here and tell you that Bryce Harper is better than Mike Trout. However, the casual fan that doesn't watch the game, that listens to whether it's Cowherd or Mike and Mike or whoever, is going to say, oh, I like Bryce Harper more. Cool, you like him more, but he's not better than Mike Trout.
Nope.
And I'm afraid that Aaron Judge, despite being a nice guy and complete opposite of Bryce Harper, I don't want to see Aaron Judge become Bryce Harper, where there's somebody else in the game, whether it be Carlos Correa or Frankie Lindor or Justin Turner, for that matter. Jeez. I don't want to see one of those guys get passed up in the common eye because the media is punching Aaron Judge down our throat.
I also don't want it to turn into a thing where people view him as a better player than Mike Trout until he proves it. Like, early in the year, you were like, whoa, they're both hitting the same average. He has a lot more. Like, maybe they're similar, and then it fell off from there. Like, Mike Trout is still the better player. Yeah. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, and frankly, it's still not close.
It's not close. You start a team right now. I'm starting a team right now. You got number one draft pick of any player in baseball. I'm taking Mike Trout.
Of course.
I'm not taking Aaron Judge. I'm taking Mike Trout.
Of course you are.
Okay, I'm going to take Kershaw because starting pitching matters. Okay, fine. You have that. I'm going to take Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, and it's not even close. And maybe it will get close in the future as everyone gets older and people improve or start to age or whatever.
Move teams, for that matter.
Right, but that's what I don't like. It's like, I know that the Angels haven't made the playoffs at all with Trout.
Since 2003?
Well, 2010, maybe? But he's still the best player in baseball. And I don't want people to lose that in the hype of Judge or Harper or whoever it may, Chris Bryant or whoever it may be. These guys are all great players, but I mean, let's slow the brakes.
That's what I fear for Judge. When we come back, we'll finally get away from this Yankee Astro series as the Cubs are up 3-1, top of the 7. Arrieta still on the mound at a 92 pitch count. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about this series as it could get closed out tonight, maybe tomorrow or the next day. I don't remember the series right now. My brain is loopy. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.